Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. My brother got a new hip on Wednesday, and there he is. So he's got a little grease cert on the side of his hip, so every once in a while I got to put some grease in there. Olive oil probably would work. I don't think the Bears are going to call him for a place kicking, though.
I don't know if the Bears are kicking.
Yeah. Okay, Ephesians 6. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul says, finally. Now, usually when most preachers say finally, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, with me it does, but... Most say, finally. You said that 5 times ago. So he's going to wrap up this letter to the church of Ephesus. And Paul wrote to 7 churches. John wrote to 7. Both of them wrote to this one. And remember, this area was known for the goddess Diana. Okay, the goddess Diana was a mother-son worship. Okay, and it was like a transgender god like Baphomet. And so that's when Paul came into that area, and then a church was established. And so with that kind of opposition, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're going to see the idea of standing, the word standing, I think 3 times as we come through here. And it would be 3 different aspects of you and I standing our ground. And then verse 12, when we do that, we need to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, even though it will be a flesh and blood individual that might be challenging your stand, what we're wrestling against is the spirit inside of them or of the age. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, what's going to help us with that? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Okay, a little bit different version there. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Okay, so that's what he's telling. And then he says, for stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, okay, watching, it's like observing the spirit of an age, watching, observing your mood and observing your emotions, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. So there's times we got to talk to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therewith that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so 3 times he said we're to stand. Okay, and that's like, okay, Joe Obama, you know, on Thursday basically drew a line in the sand. Okay, even though he don't got the authority. But he drew a line in the sand, and he's showing his intentions. He wants to be a Nazi tyrant. Okay, now fortunately, 19 governors or so have opposed that idea. And actually, the state overrides the Fed, but you got to convince people of that. But still... he's letting it be known, so he's drawn a line in the sand, and as a believer, there are certain beliefs that you have that you draw an imaginary or figurative line in the sand and said, okay, I'll go up to this line, and I'm not crossing over. Not happening. And so this is where the Bible wants us to stand, and you could stand in different ways. You could stand... you know, in a humorous way. You could just stand your ground. There's all different ways of doing things. And the idea, and you can see that the IRS or the powers that be are putting pressure on corporations, because a corporation is a creation of the Fed. And so then they kind of capitulate. But yet, remember, as a sovereign individual, as an American, and as a Christian, you need to stand your ground. This is deeper than a vaccine, even though that's part of it. It's deeper than that. But it is part of the program. Now, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, Daniel mentioned that if you read that passage about transportation communication, and anybody of my age, you know, recognizes it's amazing the advancement of transportation and communication in my lifetime. Amazing. Okay, what would take months for a person to travel, you can do in minutes. I remember as a child when gasoline was 32 cents a gallon. Okay, and some of you can go back into the, remember, it was in the teens. Okay, so we're dating ourselves. Okay, but I remember when my dad would harvest soybeans this time of year, or October, and the combine had no cab. So dad would go out a white boy and come back a different color. All that, eating that dust all day long in your face, you know, hoping, praying for a crosswind. And then you turn into the crosswind. Okay, and now these combines basically drive themselves in many ways with GPS and all that. And I know it's more than that, but still. Now these combines cost more than three of your houses. Okay, people ride Harley Davidsons, brag about only getting a ride, you know, their $20,000, you know, motorcycle 6 months out of the year. Well, a farmer gets to ride his combine 6 weeks out of the year, and he pays a lot more than that. Okay, but can you imagine the communication in our day? Cell phones, who would have thunk it? You know, to be able to talk to people around the world. Who would have thought that, you know, personally, I can be selling Bibles all around the world? I got pastors in the Philippines begging for a Bible. Okay, all around the world. Technology has made the world smaller and smaller. Technology allows tyrants to kill people easier. That's what technology does. Or it allows it. Technology allows tyrants to control and deceive. It's easier to deceive people today than it is to convince them they have been deceived. Technology allows people to extort money quicker, easily, steal your identity, boom, like that. That's what technology does. In China, they have a billion people. They want to have 2 billion cameras. They have a social credit system in China. When Lyle and Janet, my sister, lived there in China, Lyle knew a man whose government job was to destroy single-family dwellings. They want to get rid of single-family dwellings. So he was at a location overseeing destroying this single-family dwelling, tearing the house down. And the neighbor came over and said, "Would you destroy mine too, please? Please destroy mine. My credit system is down. I can't travel." So if he would destroy his house, his credit system would go, his social credit would go up. That way he could get on the bus or the train or fly within China. Isn't that crazy? So that's what's going on in China. Of course, Google is the one behind that. And we know what's going on. People, if people focus on the world, what would they say? The world's falling apart. If you focus on the word, what can you say? Everything's falling in place. Depends what you're looking at. And a believer must remain vigilant, stand against tyranny. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Now, I know that that's spiritual liberty, but there's a general principle also in national liberty. A person can still be have liberty in Christ and may not have liberty in the world. But that's two different issues. Okay, so I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about drawing this line in the sand. And each individual has to decide for yourself. And we need to remember that the enemy is not another person per se. It's the spirits that we're dealing with. And people will make decisions. And we need to be patient with people in bad decisions because of the deception and everything that's going on. But there's a line that we need to draw. Now, what one great advantage is that you know the end game. If you know the end game, the beginning of the game is not going to start off this way. It's going to be very subtle, but the end game. What is the end game plan? Look, if you would, in Revelation 13. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Revelation also reveals the second most described character in the Bible, the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 13, what's the end game of the Antichrist? Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, writing this from heavenly perspective, the Lord writes this, that this is a beast. But writing from earthly perspective, what people will see is a charismatic man. That's what they're going to see. And so he says, this beast has a mark. Take the R out and put an S in there. This beast has a mark and a name, Judas Iscariot, and a number. Now, the number's everywhere if you pay attention. If you actually look and notice things, you'll see it everywhere. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and the number is 600, 3 score and 6, so it's obvious. Okay, Google Earth, Google Chrome. I'm not saying you're evil if you have Google Chrome. Okay, you can use the things of the world to glorify the gospel. You know, Al Gore is going to have a less hotter hell because he's invented the internet. And all the gospel's going through across the internet. Okay, and so Google Chrome, if you look at it, you've got a blue eye in the middle, the all-seeing eye of Horus, and 3 sixes wrapped around it. Okay, so it's everywhere. I'm not going to take time to point them all out, but it's everywhere. Many of the corporate logos will have these symbols. Some symbol, because the devil is like a dog and he's got to mark his territory. That's a requirement. Okay, so the end game of Lucifer, the end game is absolute worldwide global control, a tyranny. It's on the back of that piece of paper you have in your, it's called money. On the back is a pyramid with that one all-seeing eye above it, the left eye of the Antichrist, because he gets shot in the head in the trib, and he rises from the dead. He has a bad right eye. And there's that eye, and in Latin words, it says, announcing the birth of the New World Order. Now, this has been announced back in the early 1900s, but it takes time to get this out, to deceive people. Okay, and the Lord has a requirement on the devil where he has to announce what he's going to do. Why? So you and I stand. So we're not blindsided. So that's what the Lord expects from us. If you're in Revelation, go backwards to chapter 6, verse 9. This is the fifth seal judgment. And look what's going on here in the fifth seal judgment. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Okay, the altar. What altar is that? That is the Jewish altar where they put a lamb on top of it and burn it, and they sacrifice this Jewish altar. But what is under this altar? It says, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. A human sacrifice. The Bible talks about that more than church membership and tithing put together, and you can see that it's building to that. And people now are the vaccine has fetal tissue in it. Okay, they're building, and then and some corporations are probably, you know, putting a little bit of blood in some of their products so people kind of get used to that or the desire and a taste of it. Okay, and it's just getting down there. And there are some restaurants that are actually advertising, you know, human meat. Okay, yeah, there's a few out there. California's one. And so people are getting conditioned. And this is where it's heading. But does it concern a believer? Why should it? You know, the Lord sees what's going on. He's not surprised. He's told us this stuff. And so the end game in Luke 22, remember before the crucifixion, Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon." Now, 7 times in the Bible where a person's name is back to back like that. He said, "Simon, Satan, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Now, I don't know what he really meant by that converted thing, but that's kind of different. But a lot of times people don't know what a sift is. But if you take a screen and pour sand through it, and then all the larger pieces stay on top of that screen, a sieve is what's used in a combine. That's how they separate the beans and the corn comes out of the chaff. And that's what Satan wants to do to each and every one of us. Okay? And so that's the end game. If we know the end game, then we can see through the subtle devices, the fiery darts at the beginning of this game and begin to stand. And so what does the Lord want you and I to do? Does he want us to build up our stuffs and go find a house in the mountains and hunker down and wait for the bad things to come? No, he said, "Occupy till I come." Luke 19, "Occupy till I come." What does that mean to occupy? Okay, when a military goes in and conquers a land, okay, you can conquer land, but how do you keep it? The military will occupy. Okay, so what you and I are held accountable to is occupy. The ground I'm supposed to occupy is this body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am accountable what I put in this body. And somebody wants to force me to put something in this body I don't want to do, then I'm going to stand against that idea. Okay, it's my body. It's got one body. I don't get out of it. I don't plan to get out of it until the rapture, you know, or whatever. I'm not a come-and-go guy where I get out of this body and come on back in. Some folks think they do, but there's that cord that keeps them connected. Okay, but I'm responsible for my body. It's funny to me that the pro-death crowd, commonly called pro-choice crowd, have a phrase, "My body, my choice." Well, why can't that work for the vax? My body, my choice. They don't want to hear that phrase. They want to hear that phrase when they want to kill that little unborn child. That's when they want to use that phrase. Well, we'll throw the phrase back in their business, right in their face. And we need to stand our ground. I'm wondering where the preachers are at. I know where they're at. They're sitting in their air-conditioned offices thinking that they're going to suffer if the air conditioner goes out. "Well, I'm suffering for Jesus." No, you need to stand your ground as a sovereign child of God, especially in the United States. Okay, now, some places are really making their fangs be known. The guy of Victoria, the state in Australia, is saying that people won't be able to get their money out of their bank account unless they prove of their vaccination. This is Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. They've been hardest on this as far as the tyrants. Sydney has been lax until July when 50 to 100,000 people showed up at that freedom rally. And so they, we got to do something about this. And then they brought the military into Sydney. And you can't be out of your house or off your lawn. Heidi got a $1,000 ticket for being someplace where she wasn't supposed to be because they got cameras and they take pictures of your plates. Now, she's thinking they'll drop the ticket because they've been doing that. But Australia's ahead of the game because they don't have, well, they do have guns, but they're not registered. Okay, and so this is a forerunner seeing what's going to happen. We're not blinded to these things. Now, fortunately, in our state, it's been pretty good. But still, the desire's there. And what the government's putting pressure on the corporations to put pressure on you. Liberty Counsel is one law firm that's kind of helping people with this. I think a great notice and demand would come in play on wrongful termination. I'm going to take some time this week and try to throw one together. And just have some fun with that. And hopefully a good solution. Now, Parliament, at the beginning of our country, Parliament kept pushing the colonies. They had no authority. Parliament had no authority over the colonies. The colonies had agreements either with the king or with certain companies. Parliament was out of the picture. But a parasite, a fly, a mosquito, a bug, they don't ask for your permission. So Parliament came in, and what the colonists did first, because they had a great revival taking place, is they verbally protested. It's called redress of grievances. Parliament didn't back off. They sent the soldiers in, and what did the colonists do? Second step is they stood their ground and defended themselves. They didn't get an army to go over to Britain to fight. They stayed here and defended their ground, and a believer has a right to defend their ground. And then the colonists defended their ground, and God, in his mercy, gave victory. It's a wonderful heritage. If you would, let's try 2 Samuel. Now, this is Old Testament, but I'll show you some brave men in the Bible. 2 Samuel 23. These are David's mighty men. Verse 8, these are the names of the mighty men, 2 Samuel 23:8, whom David had, the Techmonite. Wow, the Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same as Adino, Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, obviously, that is one event. He didn't get 800 guys to stand in a line and take his spear and stick through all 800 as a shish kebab. And I doubt that morning he got up and said, you know, I think I'm going to kill 800 people today. He just was in a situation, he stood his ground, and this one, wow, what a guy, killed 800. Can you imagine? Can't imagine. I can't even imagine that. What a guy. The next guy, verse, these are David's mighty men. I can see why they're called mighty. After him was Elzar, the son of Dodo, a Hoite. Dodo, who would name their kid Dodo? You say, do you pronounce that right? Well, what's the other choice? Doo-doo? No wonder the guy was tough. Going through school with the name Dodo or Doo-doo, he's got to be tough. Well, he sent it over to his son, and look what his son did. One of the three mighty men of David whom they defied, the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand cloven to the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him unto the spoil. That was probably annoying. I did a fighting. What are you doing here? Get out of here. The next guy. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. Who eats lentils? Well, we do, but who eats them? Lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. They said, that field ain't worth it. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. You see, ain't worth a hill of beans. Well, he drew a line and that's enough is enough. And that's what the colonists did. And that's why they declared their independence. Let's try a lady. Judges chapter 4. The feline fanatics brag about Mary because the Bible says she's blessed among women. Well, here's a lady that's blessed above women. So I think they ought to glorify this lady. JL, blessed above women. And then you got the great woman of Shunem. So you got other choices there. But here's Jael in verse 18. If you read the backup story, there's a guy named Sisera. He is a type of the Antichrist, but he is a tyrant that has caused a battle, but yet he's losing, and so he's hightailing out of Dodge like a coward running, you know, someplace. And this is wisdom. This lady is wise. She is unknowing. You need to be unknowing a lot of times, especially if you're dealing with somebody official. Be unknowing. You ever go to a grocery store and there's a woman telling, well, Friday I'm going to go here, and then Saturday my little child. It's like people, they don't care about what's going on in your life. The problem with Facebook is you're being made known to others. Now, if there's things you don't care to be made known, fine. Okay, but there's things you got to keep yourself unknown. Like in poker, you got to have a poker face when you stand your ground. Now this lady, wow, watch this lady. Verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera, said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not. Now I don't know if she had this ending plan here at the start or if it just kind of worked out, but she does a bang up job. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. She didn't like this guy. She wanted him dead, but she's not letting her hand be known. He said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. She opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. Probably put a little melatonin in there, so he went to sleep real well. Wanted him to go to have a nice... She didn't want to rock him to sleep like David did Goliath. She wanted to do a little different technique. And he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when... When any man shall doth come and inquire of thee, say, is there any man here? And thou shalt say, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. That's a big nail. And took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote a nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep, so he died. Now, she nailed him. Okay, and can you imagine when somebody came in, there's this guy, and can you imagine the emotion she would have? You know, you got one shot at this. Now, I know the head's empty, but it's got to get through there. Whack. And then how many times did she hit that until it got into the ground? That tent, that stake had to be, you know, like a foot long. And then when somebody walks in, they say, where's Sisera? He ain't going anywhere. Now that's standing your ground. Okay, now I do know that's Old Testament, and I do know that in the New Testament, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But that doesn't mean there are times that a person cannot use physical force to defend themselves. Doesn't mean that. But the protocol in the New Testament, okay, in Ephesians, we read the word stand three times. So this is the protocol. 1 Corinthians 16 says we need to stand fast, quit you like men. It's act like men. Philippians 4 says stand fast in a faith. 2 Corinthians 10 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to pulling down of the strongholds. Okay, so we stand. The first stand is our protest. It can be public, it can be private. Jeremiah 11, verse 7, it says that Jeremiah went out and protested. Okay, Jeremiah's in, let's say he's in the size of a town of Lowell. He puts a wall, there's a wall around the size of Lowell. And he goes out in the street and he protests. He protests something about town council, something about what's going on. Something about going on in their church, per se, their temple. Now, in our town, I don't know how many churches there are. Which one are you going to go to protest? But in Jerusalem, they had one religious center. One, the temple. And Jeremiah stood in front of it by himself and protested. He was popular. Not in a good way. He protested publicly. And then we protest privately, Maybe a family or a friend or somebody is trying to get you to do something that you're not convinced is true. And again, how we do these things, it can be done very relaxed. I believe that if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. Okay, and very relaxed, very innocent. Okay, if you want to watch something very funny, it is a guy protesting in Toledo. Okay, if you get on YouTube, type in Toledo mayor, guy in a porch. And so this guy was running for a political office in Toledo, and so he had him and the cameras and all his little understudies behind him in t-shirt. Anybody see this one? Anybody see this? It is hilarious. And so they get the camera running. He's some redneck sitting on the front porch. He looked like a redneck. Okay, he's sitting on the front porch, and this guy starts talking about his campaign, and the guy in the porch goes, boo, 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 liar, liar. So the guy stops and looks at him and says, you got something to say? He said, are you done? So the guy starts again. The guy on the porch, boo, 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 liar, boo. The guy stops and looked at him. Everybody stops and looks at him. And he says, you're going to come down and talk to us? So he tries again. This guy tries again. The guy up there, boo, 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 liar, liar. And this went on for 2 to 3 minutes. It is hilarious. The guy gave up. They had to walk and go someplace else. Now that's the right kind of protest. I mean, do it with levity or do it with humor or learn to relax. Okay? How do you know when you do it personally? It's pretty easy when you need to draw the line in the sand. Okay, and here's how it works. Okay, if somebody is trying to tell you their vast wisdom, they got a belief. They're trying to convince you of something, okay? And you politely listen to them, okay? I can listen to them. I might not say anything. If they don't ask, I might not say anything. If they say, and if I feel it's like a lost position where this person's not going to be convinced, I might even say, well, everybody's got an opinion. And most people's opinions don't count. Or your opinion don't matter to me. That's kind of a tweak. But if they would say something like, well, what do you think? Oh, since you ask, and then I would point out the flaws. Now, if they want my approval, 1 Corinthians 5:6, if he wants me to glory or promote his belief, there's my line. Sorry, no can do. Why? Because I am not persuaded it's true. And I've heard your little spiel, and I'm not convinced that that's true. Who aren't you convinced about? Well, this, this, and this. Well, I don't agree with you. I said, well, you asked. It's a very relaxed way of standing your ground. Okay? Point it out. Okay? Have you taken a vaccine? That's private. I choose not to answer that without advice of counsel. You can try that route. You can say, none of your business. Or you could just say, I didn't hear that and kept walking. Or you can say, yeah, I've been vaxxed. I got a flu shot several years ago. Two of them, I got sick. I got the flu for both of them, so I decided not to take it in. Or it depends how much tighter tighter they get down on you. Or, yes, I have, and then walk off. You say, well, you're lying. Exactly, because that's what Rahab did. Right? That's what the midwives did. They chose lying over murder. When it's a lesser of two evils, war is the art of deception. Sun Tzu. What gives him the right to demand me to answer his questions? Sir, come and follow me. Who are you? Come and follow me. I don't think so. I need you to follow me. No can do. I'm going my way. Are you choosing not to follow me? Well, no brainer, you figured it out. You know? Hello, would you come down to the station to answer some questions? I don't think so. Well, are you refusing to come down to the station to answer questions? Would you meet me over at church and I'll talk to you there? Are you refusing to come down to answer questions? Are you refusing to come to the church? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Conversation between me and a cop. He writes in a report. He refused to come down and answer questions. You don't have the authority. They're a public servant. I'm the master. Behave thusly. You see, they can ask you the question, have you been vaxxed? You don't have to answer that. And if they insist upon an answer, look at them and say, I don't want you to commit a crime. I'm trying to prevent a crime. You are trying to commit a crime. I don't want you to go to jail for committing a crime. Why? Demanding me to answer something when I don't have to. HIPAA says I don't have to. That's personal. That's private. And we can even take this further. You have a clergy. Oh, isn't that impressive? I'm clergy. Clergy parishioner privilege. You can tell me anything you want. And I'm not going to tell anybody. And they can't make me tell anybody because that's a privilege. This is how some guys, some hardened criminals, get out of their mess, is they'll say to their attorney, if you don't get me off of this, I will kill you. He cannot tell anybody because that's client privilege. And then they'll cut some deal. You see, if we don't know our rights, we are no better off than people that have no rights. And the thing is, relax. They don't have a right. They don't have a right to do these things. Okay? And so our personal thing is our protest individually. Okay? Our second thing is prayer. Mark 1:25, the position for prayer in the Old Testament was standing. And so in the New Testament, we can pray against whatever we need to pray against. Because in Romans 11:2, Elijah prayed against Israel. So that's our second stand. What that does, that brings God into the mix. And if we bring God into the mix and God chooses or allows you to lose liberty when you've prayed about it, then you need to accept it. He said, Lord, you know what's going on. I would rather be the victim and not the perpetrator. The Apostle Paul, in front of King Agrippa, with chains on his hands, had more liberty in Christ than Agrippa did. Agrippa was bound by public pressure. You know, if you go to a state prison, you go into the bars, you see the guys in the bars, but when you walk in, the first thing you see, an individual behind a glass case. Man, that looks like prison to me. It's just that they get out every once in a while. You see? And they call it prison, but it's actually a cage. And what they are doing to people, putting them in a cage for certain offenses, if the Anti-Cruelty Society would do this, right now, Jackie's under quarantine. What a cruel thing to do to an elderly person. We're trying to protect others. Now, I'm not buying into that. To leave somebody to be alone. They did that to animals. People would get upset. If you left your dog in a car, people would get upset. You left your dog in a car. Treating human beings like this worse than animals? Just because people have a mindset that they're not understanding the spirit of our age? What a thing. It's amazing. And the last stand is our vigilance. It's our vigilance. If God allows a reprieve to take place, and he might. I'm kind of thinking so. Okay, like Josiah, a revival at the end. We need to beware of the deception of riches. Because there's something that's undercurrent that I do believe is taking place. Ask a bank president if he's on an NGO. Or none. And what is it? NC? Where you can't tell people what is going on. Non-disclosure, their agreement. NDA. There we go. That's what I want. NDA. And watch their eyes and see a reaction. Bank president or bank vice president. Because they just might be. Okay, if that reprieve is given, okay, then we use our liberties for Christ. Not to ignore Christ. Not to be like Laodicea and say, I'm rich and increased goods, have need of nothing. If God doesn't allow that reprieve and things persist as they are, okay, then we just rejoice in the Lord and occupy till he comes. Okay, so we withstand on this and we stand true. But one thing I am absolutely certain of, Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the word of God shall stand forever. I read the last chapter. The believer's on the winning side. The world may be falling apart from their perspective, but I see it, everything's falling in place. And people often say, wouldn't it be nice if we live in biblical times? We are living in biblical times. In Revelation. And people who are confused or wondering, we have an opportunity to tell them. Try to relieve that confusion because of this book. And we need to use that to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I would dare say that's why we need to stand, as Paul said three times, stand, don't turn around and run. We stand our ground. And we can do it in a Christ-like fashion in order to witness, in order to keep the door open, in order to recognize your peace that we should have in the Lord. Okay, and be patient with each other. Work together on these things. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see what's going on. We got somebody that calls himself a president that is a traitor, and thusly so, multiple times over, a traitor. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to stand fast in a faith wherewith Christ hath made us free. And I pray that we would pray that last prayer in the Bible. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Looking forward to that day. Looking forward to that day. But we know things got to get ugly before that day. Things got to get worse before it gets better. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be faithful, to occupy, to stand, to be true to thee until we see you face to face. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed with that.